Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Hey, and just a reminder, we are on a summer break from life groups, but life groups will be starting back up at the beginning of September. And life groups is where life happens at Hope City. You want to get connected. You want to be part of the culture of Hope City. That's where it happens, is in life groups throughout the week. So be looking for those coming in just a few short weeks, our new life groups for the semester. We are continuing today a message series that Pastor Jason started last week called Honor in Action. And it's a small portion of scripture in Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 19 is where this series has come from. If you don't know this, if you haven't been here for a while, we've actually been going through the book of Matthew, verse by verse, for about 2 years right now. We're in chapter 11. I think there's 24 chapters in Matthew, something like that. So we probably have another couple of years. And the way that God is like opening up just new revelations to us as we're going through the book of Matthew verse by verse, chapter by chapter, is pretty powerful and it's pretty awesome. And this portion of scripture that this series is after really ties right into last message series, which was called Counterculture. Because showing honor to other people has become something that really is counterculture in the society that we live in. The art of honoring people is really a lost art form now. We don't hear a lot about what it looks like to be honorable to another person, how to show a person honor in our culture. We hear a lot about it in God's word and in the example set forth by Jesus and other people. But in the society that we live in, showing honor to other people is not something that is always celebrated or encouraged. Here is the definition of what honor looks like. To show honor to another person is to treat them with high respect and hold them in high regard, here's the clincher, even when they are not present. Yeah. Huh, right? It is really easy to hold someone in high regard and treat them with respect when they're right in front of your face, right? But honoring someone is how we treat them, how we talk about them, even when they are not present. Last week's message, real quickly, if you weren't here last week when Pastor Jason started this series, we started in a portion of scripture where John the Baptist has been in prison, and he was put in prison because he spoke out against an inappropriate relationship between Herod and his sister-in-law. And he's put in prison. And now, he's having these doubts. Like, have I done all of this for nothing? Is Jesus really who I said he was? Did I put myself out there preparing the way for a man that isn't even who I said he was? Is that who he is? And let me just tell you something. Something that God was just speaking to me as I was sitting down here in between services. Us questioning Jesus, us questioning God, does not hurt his feelings. He can handle our questions. He can handle us saying, but you said this, right? Can you tell me again what you said? That doesn't hurt his feelings, and he's not offended by that. And so John sends some of his followers to Jesus to ask him, like, it's really you, right? I didn't do all of this for nothing, right? And Jesus just simply says, I want you to go back and I want you to tell John that people are healed, demons are cast out, the dead are raised. Go back and tell him those things. He didn't have to say, all right, listen, tell John and all of his doubting that of course I'm him, duh. Wouldn't be doing all of this if I wasn't. Like, why is he doubting me? He just said, go back and tell John this is what's going on. And that will be proof enough to know that, hey, okay, all right, you know what? It's Jesus. It's the Messiah. That's who God sent me out to prepare for. Jesus' response to John was honorable. He didn't take offense to John's question. His feelings weren't hurt. And then, as John's disciples turn away to go back and tell John what Jesus said, I can imagine that something must have happened. Some little, like, whispering among the crowds. The reason that I can imagine this is when I read our next portion of scripture to what Jesus said. I can imagine that people must have said, get a load of that guy. What's he doing questioning you, Jesus? He's kind of weird anyhow. He just lived out in the wilderness wearing camel hair and eating grasshoppers. What is wrong with him? He's so strange. Did you hear how he was like talking to people? Now, listen, that's not Bible. That's just Paul reading in between the lines, okay? You're not going to find that in the Bible. But when I feel like someone I care about is being questioned, I can easily fall into that same trap. Like, who do they think they are? Well, just last week I saw him. I heard them doing, saying this, this, and this. Right? It's understandable to have that kind of response. Even understandable to feel that way when somebody questions us or we hear about someone talking about us. It's understandable, but it's not excusable, right? But Jesus, being a man of integrity, he turns to the people, and this is what he says. This is our passage for today. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began talking about him to the crowds. He begins talking about John to the crowds. What kind of man did you go into the wilderness to see? Was he a weak reed swayed by every breath of wind? Or were you expecting to see a man dressed in expensive clothes? See how I could read in between the lines there? No, people with expensive clothes live in palaces. Were you looking for a prophet? Yes. He's more than a prophet. John is the man by who the scriptures refer to when they say, look, I am sending a messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare the way for you. I tell you the truth. Of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Yet even the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Oh, and Matt, Jesus is about ready to just blow their socks off. You ready? And from the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and violent people are attacking it. For before John came, all the prophets and the law of Moses looked forward to this present time. And if you are willing to accept what I say, he is Elijah, the one the prophet said would come. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. That's from Matthew chapter 11, verses 7 through 15. Jesus' response to the situation really is countercultural to what we see happening today. Culture encourages us to build our case against the other person, right? If we feel threatened or offended by someone, or if we hear that someone is questioning us or talking about us, we can quickly be like, well, did you hear what they said about the other person? Or like, well, did you see what they did? And I mean, come on, you know me. You know what I do. You know I don't act like that, right? Culture encourages us to build our case or give all the reasons why he or she is wrong. And then go and tell everyone how that person made you feel. Oh, and also feel free to embellish the story to swing in your favor. Yeah. Right? Okay? Jesus uses this opportunity to further teach people about what the kingdom of God looks like. He gives us a model to follow. He gives us a model to follow when we're tempted to gossip and discredit other people. Jesus gives us a model of integrity. A model of integrity. The first thing that I see in this is that for a model of integrity is to highlight the good. Now, listen. It is really easy to point out the faults in other people, isn't it? Come on. It is easy to see other people's faults, right? I mean, faults are easily pointed out. Sometimes, though, we have to look really hard and be really disciplined to see the good. Jesus took this opportunity to remind people who John was and what he had done. John was the one who had gone out before Jesus and prepared people's hearts to receive the message that Jesus was going to start speaking. John had gone out and said to them, like, guess what? He's coming. He's coming right behind me. Get ready. Get ready. Eternity rests on this person. Get ready for him. You're going to know who he is. John had sacrificed comfort and companionship for his call. Yeah, he was that guy. He did live out in the wilderness, away from the cities. He wore strange clothing made of material that wasn't normally used in those days. He ate different foods. He didn't go hunting for wild game. He found the little creepy crawly things and had them for dinner, okay? All to show that he was willing to do whatever it took in order to stay true to what God had called him to do. Because Jesus told them this, that he was carrying the same anointing as the prophet Elijah. This would have like hit these people straight in the chest, like boom. Why? Well, because Elijah was considered to be the greatest prophet in Israel's history. Elijah was highly regarded by the Jewish people. You can read about Elijah in the Old Testament in 1 and 2 Kings. Elijah was a legend of a prophet. And then Isaiah said that someone would come in the same spirit of Elijah to prepare the way for the Messiah, to prepare the way for Jesus. And Jesus said that John was greater even than Elijah. That's what Jesus said. He said, no one has ever been greater than this man. I tell you the truth, of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. How hard is that to do? When someone questions you, when someone calls you out and wants to know, like, are you being for real? How hard is it to be like, actually, you're the greatest person who has ever lived? Actually, you're being so true to your call. You've been so obedient to the call that God's put on your life. I see that in you. You've stepped in obedience. You've put yourself out there. You're sitting in prison because of the call of God on your life. I see that gold in you. Well, that's countercultural. That's honor in action. That's honor in action. We call out the gold in people. Man, what would things change around us on a daily basis if instead of telling people how they need to improve, telling people how much they've done so great? Right? Man, I see this in you. I saw you do this. That was awesome. How much would change in our society, in just the situations around us on a daily basis, if we took that as a challenge? Like today, I'm going to tell every person I come in contact one great thing about them. Challenge. I can't accept it, but you can. I mean, I can accept it for myself. The second thing is this. Recognize who the battle is against. Listen, Jesus recognized that John wasn't questioning him. Jesus recognized that Satan was planting doubts in John's mind, like, everything you've done is for nothing, and now you're sitting in prison. Jesus recognized that John was not the opposition. The opposition in every situation is Satan. Listen, it is so easy to take things personally and get offended. Isn't it? I can be so guilty of this. I can be so guilty of this. To hear somebody like say something about me or about something I've done and take such offense to that and get my feelings hurt. Newsflash. Satan takes great delight when we're offended at somebody else. Yeah. Oh, he does. He's like, ooh, bait taken. Great. Now I can start to get them all fighting amongst each other. The unity isn't there. They can't work together. They can't further God's kingdom. Win. That's what he does, right? If Satan can drive a wedge between people, then he gets to have room to speak lies and twist truth. It's true. And this is what Jesus said. This is how Jesus recognized who's the battle against. From the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and violent people are attacking it. Not John the Baptist is attacking it. Violent people are attacking it. We have to look beyond the faces that come at us and look at the thing behind them. The kingdom of heaven always has an opponent. It's the kingdom of darkness, forever and always. And Satan knows if he can keep you from being kind, from being honorable, from being a person of integrity, then he can stop the kingdom of heaven from advancing within your heart. If he can get you to hold on to an offense, then he can keep the kingdom of heaven from advancing within you. Plain and simple. If he can get us to bicker and gossip about each other, then he knows the kingdom of heaven can't advance among us. And here's what I know. There are men and women maybe sitting in this room today, definitely outside these walls that we come in contact with every day, that are dying and going to hell because they're not in right relationship with Jesus. And when I allow Satan to stop the kingdom of heaven from advancing within me, then I interfere with God's plan for eternity for that, someone that I might come in contact with tomorrow. So the last thing is this. Stop the gossip. What? Stop the gossip? How are we even supposed to conversate if we don't have gossip? Right? Because gossip is so common in our culture that it's like expected. Gossip is like our delightful food. Like, ooh, what's the tea? Oh, hey, did you hear about what so? Did you hear about this? No, tell me. Well, they said this. Are you serious? Well, then how did they respond? Well, what's going to happen? Oh, well, I heard that da-da-da-da-da, right? It's not just a development of our culture. This is like worldwide, and it's as old as time. In fact, there was actually one of the Ten Commandments given to Moses that was written specifically about gossip. Did you know that? I didn't really put two and two together until I did a study of this, okay? Before I talk to you about this commandment, I want to tell you this little quote that God gave me as I was preparing this message. Gossiping about others is detrimental to the kingdom of heaven, and it completely disqualifies us from advancing God's kingdom. When we gossip about other people, it absolutely stops the advancement of God's kingdom. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, here's what God said to Moses as he's writing this out on the tablets on Mount Sinai. You must not testify falsely against your neighbor. Now, keep that up there for just a minute. You must not testify falsely against your neighbor. I grew up in church. I grew up like in Sunday school. And so like, you know, we'd have like little lessons every Sunday. And my understanding of this was like, you know, you shouldn't like testify in court. You shouldn't lie, basically. Don't lie. You shouldn't lie. But as I was doing some research on this, and really, what God was talking about, he was talking about any time we're talking to somebody else about another person. Okay? You want to hear the Paula version of this? Here it is, right? You must not repeat what you heard about someone else and sell it as truth. There we go. You must not repeat what you heard about someone else and sell it as truth. Isn't that gossip in a nutshell? Oh, wait, there's one more thing. What? This isn't gossip. They told me this. I didn't hear from anybody else. They told me this. Well, did they tell you that you could share it openly with another person? Because if you share something that someone told you in confidence, then you're just gossiping about them. You're taking what they shared with you in confidence but and using it to promote yourself to somebody else. You're also damaging them, right? Jesus stopped the gossip in that situation before it even had a chance to get started. He was like, let me tell you about John. Let me tell you about this amazing man named John. What he has done, what he has given up, what he is doing for God's kingdom. Let me tell you about what a great person he is. Jesus calls us to love God with all of our heart, mind, and strength, and to love each other as ourselves. That's actually the mission of Hope City, to love God, love people. Love God, love people. Well, we cannot love each other if we are always talking about each other. That is not love at all. I heard a message from Joyce Meyer once. Joyce Meyer is one of my like spiritual heroes. I love her. Probably because she reminds me a lot of myself. And she was talking about gossip one time on a message that I was listening to of her. And she was talking about the principle of sowing and reaping. It's a biblical principle. The Bible says that whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Whatever you plant, it's going to grow a harvest, and you're going to reap that harvest, right? And so when she would hear about, like, somebody who was talking about her, or things would get back to her about what so-and-so said or what they're saying on this, you know, news media or whatever, this is the question that she asked. Well, are they sowing or am I reaping? Let me just say that again for you. When you hear about somebody that's talking about you poorly, well, they said this, or I heard that they did this. The question should be, are they sowing or am I reaping? That has stopped me in my tracks many times. Man, if I say this, I'm sowing something that I'm going to reap further down the road. Right? When Jesus calls us to love God and love people, he's calling us to love like 1 Corinthians chapter 13 calls us to. In verses 4 through 7, it says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. We cannot gossip about people and love them at the same time. It's impossible. It's impossible. God calls us to be a people who love each other. Gossip and love do not intermix. It's time for us to take this stand in a culture that loves to dish the tea on everybody else, to be that person that is flat-faced and says, I don't want to hear it. This doesn't involve me. Please don't talk to me about this. If you have a problem with that person, let me take you to them. You can talk to them, right? Jesus is modeling to us what it looks like to be people that stand for integrity and that believe the best in each other. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're like, this is all very new to me. Actually, modeling any part of my life after Jesus is something that I have never even started to do. And maybe today you're like, that's what I want to do. I want to start right now by modeling my life after Jesus, and it starts right now.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.